Blog Talk Radio.
Abanico, 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 abanico.
Listening to the Truth to Power show, and I'm Beverly, and we have Eddie Rodriguez with us, and we are celebrating Tito Pintaz, the king of Latin jazz and salsa music. We're celebrating his birthday month here, and how are you doing, Eddie Rodriguez? And I also want to say we have a guest with us tonight also, Frankie Hollywood, and how you doing, Eddie Rodriguez?
Well, I'm doing fine. That was a great set. You know, we heard early Tito Puente with some great vocalists, an Afro-Cuban singer by the name of Vicentico Valdez, and we heard another composition by Tito that included, you know, a lot of the artists of the moment that were big and on the scene, especially in New York City, Celly Cruz, Peter Conde Rodriguez, Junior Gonzalez, I heard Eli Quintana. So, you know, everybody was very accommodating to Tito, and he wanted them to sing with his orchestra. And so we heard some great singers with that particular composition. We heard him again with Vicentico Valdez, Arroyando. Gary talks about the 1949 going into 1950 with Tito Puente. You know, and they're both rest in peace. And then we heard Elegue Shango. That was an inspiration by Tito Puente to do a composition dedicated to what the Afro-Cuban, or actually the African Yoruba tribe, they had a religion that worship the goddess of the ocean, goddess of the rivers, the god of the you know, fire. They had a lot of, you know, gods that they would worship, and when they were brought as slaves to places like Africa, from Africa to places like Cuba, and all parts of, even in Brazil, I mean, all parts of the world, they practice the religion today. It's still known as Santeria. And Tito Puente was a very, very spiritual person. Not only was he a Catholic, but he was also very in tune to the drumming of this particular religion that was reaching Africa. And he was drawn to it, and as well as a lot of other big Latin music artists, including Celia Cruz, that were in touch with the people and the ceremonies that were done by people that were God's fathers, and the ones that had the families, you know, different parts of the world, they would put, you know, the ceremonies together to worship the God. And most of the drumming was with a particular type of two-headed drum called a bata. Bata has a high, you know, there's like a bass sound, and one is kind of like neutral in the middle, and the other one is a higher tone. And I would attend a lot of these ceremonies. They're called bembes. And I'm sure that the same thing happened at Theodore that happened to me when I was there. It was like very, the music and the drumming was very, very captivating, especially if you're someone that is interested in the drumming and the feeling and the inspiration you get if you're on the same frequency. So that was something that I think was special about that one. Then the last tune we heard was with Santitos Colón, may he rest in peace. That was one of Tito's favorite singers, and you know, he had it for many years and created a lot of hits. We're going to hear on the next set an album that was called Dance Mania, and those are all with Santitos Colón on lead vocals. But there was a particular attraction to the teenagers in the Bronx during that time. We were not into our parents' music. Mm-hmm. But Tito Puente at that time, with the voice of Tito Colón and the dancing, because we did not call it salsa. We called it Latin dancing, mambo, cha-cha, or bolero. Bolero was, I call it, those days, that was the grind 'em up dance.
Well, that was and, slow dancing.
That was a slow dance, but it was done with a lot of. And then cha-cha was known all over the world. Mambo was known all over the world. Today, you go to a music school, a dance school, and they'll teach you how to dance mambo, cha-cha. But they won't call it that. They'll teach you how to dance salsa and bachata. Before Latin music was merengue, cha-cha, mambo, any other kind of Latin music that was out there at the time. But and tonight is very special. We have a special guest for your audience tonight. I met Frankie Hollywood at SOB's in New York, a club that used to have performances by Tito Puente Latin Jazz Ensemble and many, many other big-name jazz and Latin acts and American artists as well. And after the set, Tito wanted to relax just kind of before I took care of it. I had to take care of the money situation. Mm-hmm. And but I was with Tito, and while they were breaking everything down, everybody was busy. And there was a gentleman that was with Tito. And I think he asked Tito, who is that guy? And Tito said, no, he's with me. He's okay. You know, and I was working managing Tito at the time. It was Ralph Mercado was his manager. He was too busy. And then Jack Hook, his manager for many years, had just passed away 6 months before that. And so I came in to Ralph and Tito. Tito, when he spoke to me about this, he said, Eddie, you know, I'm going to need somebody in the office now. And now that Jack is gone, you know, I said, yeah. I said, yeah, that's true. He said, you can do it for us. You can do this job for me. And I said, well, Tito, those are some big shoes to fit, you know, I mean, to fit into. I mean, Jack Cook, years and years of experience. He said, no, you can do it. You can do it. Talk to Ralph and get it straightened out with him, because he's mm-hmm. too busy with work. You have it. You can do it. And make sure it's okay. And that's how it started, you know, my relationship with Tito, working with him every day. And I didn't know a lot of his people in New York. I knew Tito's in 79, but I was in the West Coast. If you hear any background noise, it's because we're supposed to be live as a public service to Blog Talk Radio with Beverly D in Detroit, and I'm live in Puerto Rico. And let me first welcome our guest, E. Hollywood. Frankie, how are you doing tonight?
Okay, Frank, thanks for joining us, Mr. Hollywood.
I just want to say, ma'am, you impressed me with your music while I was waiting, because I usually get bored when I have to hear elevator music, and this is furthest thing from elevator music, so I have to commend you for your class and your taste in music, first of all, ma'am, and thank you for having me, and thank you, Eddie, for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Frankie Hollywood. Frankie is, he's called Frankie Hollywood because one of the things that happened with him in New York, one of the very many stories he has with the experience of Tito Puente was how he got that name and how he met Tito Puente, and he's going to talk to us tonight about that name, Frankie Hollywood. Frankie, how did you meet Tito?
Well, I met Tito back in the day. A friend of mine had a club called The Monastery. It was in the disco area, and then he changed it to The Palm Tree, okay? And this guy's name was Lenny Mangiapane. He was like a close personal friend of James Caan, the actor that played Sonny in The Godfather, okay? So Tito performed in his club, and the guy that was running the Latin venues was a friend of mine named Al Gonzalez. You know, he was a Latin guy, but he had an attitude like an Italian, though. But he was a Latin guy, and he was a very dear friend of mine. And so that's how I met Tito. I was very young in those days, but I was involved in the music since I was a kid. My first attraction to music was the Motown sound, really. You know, I really loved all the Motown singers, Smokey, The Temptations, Stevie Wonder, Little Anthony and the Imperials. I grew up with that until I heard Joe Cuba. When I heard Joe Cuba's music, I didn't know what Latin was. My mother used to play old time. Every time she would clean on the weekends, she put that music up. The whole neighbors would hear the music. And she would play old-time Spanish music. They would call it jíbaro music, like hit music is the expression for that. But when I heard Joe Cuba singing and Cheo Feliciano and Jimmy Sabater, I really, really got into the Latin thing. That was way before I got to know who Tito Puente was. The first one that introduced the Latin music was Joe Cuba, and I got to meet him, and we became close personal friends. And then years down the road, my friend had this club, and that Tito performed, and that's when I met Tito. I was young. I was like maybe 17 years old. Wasn't even old enough to be in a club and have drinks, but I was much more older for my age. All my friends always had 20 years on me as a kid. And that's when I first met Tito. And the name Hollywood came about when I moved to Hollywood because I had an issue with a big-time drug dealer I didn't like. I was gonna hurt this guy, and Tito Puente told me, "Listen, you want to be an actor, go to Hollywood." So I went to Hollywood. I lived in Hollywood for like 4 years, and when I came back for personal reasons, all my friends were, "Hey, look who's there, Frankie Hollywood!" You know, so they were, "Hey, we're waiting to see you on the movie screen with you," you know, and that's how the name came about, Frankie Hollywood.
Wow, interesting.
But Tito, when I was listening, he was saying I was listening to, you know, right away I know his music because, you know, it's like a lot of people don't know that Tito is in the Guinness Book of Records for most recorded recordings by a single artist. A lot of people don't know that about Tito. Tito opened the door for a lot of multi-millionaire musicians today. Mark Anthony, I knew when he was a scroungy little skinny kid trying to get a gig in the clubs in New York City until Ralph Macchio gave him a break. You know, so La India, she came to me one day crying. She wanted to record with Tito, and I tell her, "Why are you telling me? Tell him." You know, and she told him, and she recorded a nice Latin jazz album with him. So Tito was very instrumental in a lot of people. Celia Cruz my godfather, God rest his soul, he's from Cuba, and he knew Celia singing in the streets of Havana as a young girl, and that powerful voice that she had, everybody would wake up on a Sunday morning or Saturday morning listening to Celia Cruz. And so as the years went, you know, my godfather came to the States, and he was Tito Puente's godfather also, and that's how we got to be brothers, and, you know, through our godfather. He's the one that told Tito, go get Celia and bring her to the United States. And so on the pretest and the visa for, you know, to play with Tito, because they loved him in Cuba, she came to the United States, and she never went back. She had to leave her mom, her sister, her family. But that's the story of Celia. And when she sings her first album, she gives tribute to Tito, and she sings and says that if it wasn't for Tito, I wouldn't be here right now singing. So, and Celia was a very dear sister to me also. I loved her very much, and her husband, Pedro Knight, God rest both their souls. And that's the story with Tito and Celia.
Very, very enlightening, you know, because only someone that was close to these great, God-given, amazing, talented human beings, or spiritual beings as well. And you having had a close relationship and knowing, you know, by way, like you said, you know, you were brothers. And it is an honor, Hollywood, it is an honor for us to be with you tonight and for you to share some of the things that you're interested in doing, you know, in the name of
people. Well, I'll be honest with you, Eddie, if it wasn't for you, I'm a very personal person. I'm, you know, I tell everybody I'm 23, but I'm going to be 73 because 23 is my favorite number, you know. But if it wasn't for you, Eddie, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be doing this. At the end of the day, you know, when I first met you, I didn't know who you were. And anybody near my brother, I would check them out. I wasn't his bodyguard or security. Even though I had my own bodyguard service for 25 years in New York, I had 3 clubs in New York, Latin jazz clubs in New York throughout the years. But when I first saw you, Eddie, I want to be honest with you. And you know it. I've told you this time and time. You know, I asked Tito right in front of you, who's this guy? You know, because yeah, Tito didn't have too many people around him, I mean, within his space and his personal circle, like, you know, and he just looked at me and said, he's with me. That's all he had to say. And from that moment on, I had a great deal of respect for you, Eddie, because it wasn't easy handling all of Tito's work and whatever all you had to do, and you did it with a lot of grace. You did it very professionally. You never created waves. You wasn't out there trying to get the limelight like a lot of people try to do off of artists that want to see if they can become artists themselves. And you never did that. I never sensed not one ounce of ego, that never mind Tito, what about me type of thing like a lot of people do in this business. And I know what I'm talking about. So I have to say, Eddie, from the moment I met you to this day, I've had a great deal of respect for you and admiration, and I love you, my brother. And I thank you for being a brother to my brother the way you were. Okay? I have to say that for the record.
Hey, man. Thank you so much, Frankie. I'm touched by those words, and wow. I just say I love
you. And I'll say this, Eddie. I'll tell you, even it was Tito's 100th birthday on the 20th of April. And I know a lot of people, you know, because, you know, I've been around. I've had my own bodyguard service, like I said. It was called Star Security. A lot of, you know, celebrities and diamond couriers and, you'll forget about it. But at the end of the day, the only one that gave me a shout out of all the people that I know that have my number or whatever was you, Eddie. You was the only one. And the way you did it, and I feel that Tito's spirit channel through you, through me, because I'm spiritual. Tito was my spiritual brother. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't know that, you know, Tito, he didn't have that one ounce of ego. You know, he would put a 6-7-year-old kid and stand him on the chair to play timbales and with an audience of hundreds of people and thousands of people. He didn't care. Somebody told me, there's a kid that likes him. Bring him here. And he would put him on the stage. That's how Tito was, you know? And with that same feeling, he got angry one day. I was with him personally, and you know, he never cursed. Tito never cursed, but if he had to curse, his favorite word was "she." He would say that. Everybody that knows Tito knows that. And one day, Tito, out of the blue, I don't know, it just came out of the blue, and he said, "She, I'm going to get a Latin Grammy for my people." And he meant all the Latin people, not only the Puerto Ricans. Because wherever he went in Europe and China and Russia, he always brought the Puerto Rican flag with him. He was proud to be a Puerto Rican New Yorker, okay? And when he did that Grammy thing, I was with him, and it took him 9 months with the help of Michael Green, that was the president of the American Grammy Awards at that time. I took pictures to prove that, because you could tell people things, and people actually don't believe it, you see, because that's how people are. They're very skeptical about things. But Tito did that, and the year after that, it was the first Latin Grammy, and I got to see that show, okay? But at the end of the day, after that, they never mentioned Tito, you know? And so, I would love to start a petition, but I've been trying to do this for most, like 22 years already, you know? And as long as there's a beat in my heart and there's breath in my lungs, I will keep going until the Lord says enough is enough, or you got it, kid. To get a Tito Puente Lifetime Achievement Latin Grammy Award named after him. They have the Lifetime Achievement Award, but why don't you just name it after the guy that made that possible, made the Grammys possible for all Latin performers, Puerto Ricans, Jamaican, Panamanian, Colombian, Ecuador, Mexico, every Latin country. Now the Latin Grammys is bigger than the American Grammy Awards. Because the Latinos took that and made it their own. And Tito was the one that wanted to do that. And a lot of people don't know this. So I say this because his spirit is channeling through me. He was my religious brother. He was my big brother. He was shorter than me, but he was always my big brother. And I had a respect for this man. And so this day, I live with him every day. There's pictures of him all over my house. I hear his music constantly in my house when my TV is on. Whatever I'm doing, Tito's music is constantly playing in my house. And a lot of people don't know that. Not only Timbales, he was the consummate vibe player. He loved playing the vibes. Lionel Hampton, which I met, he loved Lionel Hampton. And Kyle Jader, you know, and all these performers that would play the vibes. And Tito, just as good as he was with those Timbales, he was good with the vibes. Every tune, every song that you hear, Tito wrote that. Whether it be instrumental, the piano, the percussion, everything you hear, and every Tito Puente song, he wrote it. He arranged it. He did that. That's why he was in the Guinness Book of Records for most recorded albums by one single artist, and at that time, I believe it was 138 albums, okay? So a lot of people don't know, but Tito wasn't the guy that was braggadocious. He wasn't that. He was a funny guy. He would make me laugh that my face would hurt. You know, we would hang out with Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby loved Tito Puente. You know, wherever Tito was in New York, Tito, and he would let him play with his band, the Bongos, and whatever Bill Cosby wanted to do. You know, and he was funny, and Dizzy Gillespie. You know, I got pictures with all of them because, you know, Tito, when Tito told Dizzy, "This is my brother," Dizzy Gillespie threw everybody out of that dressing room except the photographer. You know, and we spent, and I got to speak with Dizzy, and we became friends throughout the years and all that. But Tito touched the Jewish community, the Italian community, the Muslim community, everybody that had an ear and loved the sound of music. Tito got to their heart and their soul. And he never, ever liked the word salsa. He used to tell people, salsa means sauce. I don't play sauce, you know? So a lot of people don't know that Tito was a very, very funny guy. On an airplane, he made me laugh that the stewardess had to come up and say, "Sir, you cannot laugh this loud on the plane." And as soon as she walked away, Tito came up. My face was hurting from Kennedy Airport to Los Angeles, LAX Airport. I was laughing nonstop. Nobody ever did that to me. So not only was he a talented musician, a beautiful human being, but he was one of the funniest people you ever, only with his personal circle. He was, you know, people didn't know his humor because he was a consummate professional, a musician, and he carried himself well, and he carried his culture well throughout the world. Now Mark Anthony, all these other, Ricky Martin, Jennifer Lowe, they're all multimillionaires because not for nothing, because my brother paved the way for them to be more. He didn't die a multimillionaire, but the legacy he has, they could never achieve, no matter how much money they have. And that's a true story, Beverly. True story.
Yeah, yeah. So when you was traveling,
Beverly, there's something really special, like I said, about the next set, and we want maybe Frankie to reflect on that too during that time. It's from the album by Tito Puente called Dance Mania. If anyone gets a chance, go to YouTube and just put the word Dance Mania, and you will get
album. You know, Tito's thing with the Dance Mania, and he had a cover of Mambo Mania, Dance Mania. But the thing with that Mania thing is that he wanted to express, you know, every instrument there is to play. I mean, he emphasized that. And it was a long, I think this cut you're talking about is like a long cut, because a lot of Tito Puente's cuts are like 6 minutes. Some of them are 9 minutes. Some of them are 10 minutes. You know, I don't know how long is this cut that you're talking about. But whenever he put that mix up,
on the other side of the set, we want you to talk about some of those days and how you got into Latin music, and obviously the music that you're going to hear now on this set, and a little bit more about your campaign to have bestowed on a Latino.
It'd be my pleasure. I want to start a petition drive for the Tito Puente Lifetime Achievement Land Grammy Award. So you can hear this set. I'd be more than happy to express my personal life with my brother Tito, which I carry this very close to my heart. And like I said in the beginning, if it wasn't for you, I won't be doing this. I'm doing this because you know where my heart is, and you know how I feel about the Lifetime Achievement Award I want named after him. So whatever it is you need for me, and Beverly, since I don't even know you, but I the fact when I was waiting on hold and I said, wow, this lady got some good taste in music, and I'm pretty sure that you play other music, but when you play the Tito Puente music, I mean, a lot of people must be dancing in their homes because you can't sit down to that music.
Thanks to Eddie Rodriguez.
Yes, Eddie Rodriguez. And I'll tell you something. You could be sitting in that. I used to sit with Symphony Six back in the day, one of the most famous DJs in New York City, okay? And his show was one of the most popular shows in New York. And for Latin music, everybody would put their clocks to that. And all the homes, you know, because in those days, you know, we didn't have the cell phones and all that, you know. I mean, it was like an ancient time. So the Symphony Six show was the show. The Symphony Six is what you're doing now. Symphony Six did 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. So I commend you, Beverly, and what you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate you, too. We're going to play some more. We're going into another set here. When we come back, we'll finish this conversation.
Yes, ma'am.
mañana cuando yo te vea. Permite que deje explicarte los momentos de amargura que pasé por ti, mujer. Yo comprendo, soy un hombre, lo que quiero me da linda en disculparme. Por ti, mujer.
a gozar este rico mambo, a gozar. We'll be right back.
We are celebrating the music of Tito Pintez, the king of Latin jazz and salsa music, with Eddie Rodriguez and Frankie Hollywood.
Wow. All I can say, Beverly, is wow, wow, wow. I feel like you guys are playing my music in my house. I don't know. So I must have a bug in this house because that's the music I hear constantly 24/7. So, wow, wow. It brings back a lot of memories. And wow is the only thing I can say. Wow. I'm so impressed with your station, man. I hope your listeners are dancing to the music, enjoying it, because every beat that you guys heard, every sound, the percussion, the instruments, the horns, that Tito wrote that. Nobody else. That was who Tito Puente was. He didn't have nobody make arrangements for him or nothing. Santito Colón, he was in a class all his life. Tito couldn't tell him how to sing, you know, because Tito was, he sang coro, but he wasn't a lead singer, so. It was nice to hear Santito Colón in those cars. I don't know who picked that arrangement, but they did a good job, whoever did, because, I mean, talk about perfection and excellence. So I commend your station, and I hope that all your listeners are enjoying it, because at the end of the day, when the show is over, go get yourself some Tito Puente music, because the party could never end if you have that in your house.
Yeah.
There you go.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Beverly.
No, go ahead, Eddie.
Oh, no, I just wanted to get back into your mission to be able to create a park for disabled children in Puerto Rico with the
okay,
land that you have.
Thank you, Eddie, so much. Yeah, I have a 20-acre mountain in Puerto Rico inherited by my great-grandfather, God rest his soul. And it's a huge mountain. I have like nine huge caves in it. And right now I'm in the courts in Puerto Rico to see if I can get total title ownership to the mountain, because there was 11 inheritors. And the laws in Puerto Rico when it comes to inheriting property on the books is from the 1500s, you know, from the beginning of the conquistadors when they came to the island or whatever. So. But at the end of the day, I'm almost there. I've been dealing with this for 9 years already. Once I have that, I want to, you know, my son passed away like six years ago. I buried him on the day before Father's Day. 6 years, he was 27 years old, died of juvenile diabetes. So I want to create a foundation in my son's name and make that park a park like a Disneyland for the handicapped, and turn a frown into a smile and make it a gift that keeps on giving. Long after I'm leaving this planet, I'll make sure that I would have a board of directors to continue the legacy of what I want to do for the handicapped, the elderly, the young, those that are dealing with chemotherapy. And, you know, I know a lot of people that's a bad deal that sometimes life gives people. And I just want to turn a frown into a smile. They know they don't have to pay for the ride, water ride. Since I'm in Puerto Rico, I want it to be like a water park. They don't have to pay for the food. They don't have to pay for the refreshments. They don't have to pay for nothing. The adults that accompany them, they pay, and the money that they pay goes to the foundation and a gift to St. Jude. I belong to the St. Jude's family. Everybody that used to come to my club, they used to donate money to the St. Jude's, because I used to tell them, if you could spend a couple of $100 in this club, you could put some money in that envelope for St. Jude's. So I've been doing this for over 50 years, so it's nothing new. But now it has a different flavor to it. When you bury a son, when you bury a brother, Tito was my big brother, you know, your life is never the same. But they live through your heart, through their memory, through the music. And I commend you, Beverly, for playing my brother's music like that. And I hope it won't be the last time. I don't know how your format is. Maybe 1 week you play this music, 1 week you. But if you could just throw one or two of Tito Puente songs throughout your formats, you know, it would be nice, you know, because I understand that every station has a different format for a different reason. But Tito music transcends. It's from Africa. All those songs you heard, you know, I remember when the disco era was here, you know, and Tito only yelled at me twice, you know, because You know, and I asked him one time, you know, Tito, why don't you make like a disco percussion album? And he yelled at me, literally yelled at me, you know, because he, you know, even though he could have done it, because the disco is a lot of percussion. And I just figured, hey, what the, you know, Gloria Gaynor, everybody, it was a disco area. And he said, right. No, Mom, I'm not Tito Puente, the disco guy. I'm Tito Puente, Latin jazz, mambo king guy. No, you know, he didn't put down the disco music, but he was true to his roots. And he told me about the beat of the African drum. You see, that's why all of Tito's music is an African influence to it, even the instruments. You know, if you could pay attention to it, you know, you can hear a trumpet, but that trumpet sometimes sounds like a drum, the way the sounds that he makes it make, you know. So, Tito, when I told you, you know, like he used to say to me, you know, the Indians, you know, they used to talk, they used to send smoke signals. And the Africans, when they used to reach each other, different tribes, they used to hit the drums, and it was like Morse code through the drums before Morse code was popular. The Navy got Morse code through the African beat of the drum. Really? You know? So he was true to the roots of African culture and African music, you know? And I learned a lesson that day. And I never asked him to play, because it was just a gesture. But he got angry at me for it because, you know, he was true to his roots. You know, true story, Beverly. True story.
Absolutely. Hey, go ahead.
I wanted to ask them. Do we have a GoFundMe page or something? How do you want the people to respond to help with this park?
Well, what I would like, Beverly, is I tell my grandkids and I tell, you know, I'm not Bill Gates. I'm not Chave when it comes like to the internet and texting. I'm old school. Don't text me, call me. Let me hear your voice. But if I could create some kind of a petition drive for the people that are in control of the Grammys, the arts and sciences, you know, I know it's out of Las Vegas now. You know, I did my research. I'm just one person. You know, but if I can get a whole lot of people with a petition drive, I don't know how to create that. I don't know how to do that. I know that it exists, that petition drive can go directly to the Grammy people, and they can know. You know, I don't know if Michael Green is still alive. He was with me. You know, he helped Tito make this a reality, and he was the president of the American Grammy Awards. So what I would ask all your listeners or whoever's influential in the music industry to try to make a strong petition drive to get together and to create the Tito Puente Lifetime Achievement Latin Grammy Award. There is a Lifetime Achievement Award, but I would like my brother's name to it. You know, I don't watch the Grammys only 1 year. After that 1 year, nobody mentions my brother. I never watch the Grammys because it upsets me that they don't know when they have that award in their hand, they're thanking this person, they're thanking that person, and nobody thanks Tito for making it a reality. And maybe they don't know about it, and maybe they do, and they don't care. But that's okay, because God don't like ugly. But if I can get a petition drive and get the attention of the Grammy people through make some kind of a petition drive through the internet, or somebody that knows that, some computer geek, or I need somebody that knows that can do that, then it would happen, because the people have a lot of voice. And the people, because if they don't do it, I could just imagine the Latin community boycotting the Grammys, and all they'll have is the executives in the audience and not the people.
Right.
Well, we want to thank you tonight. You know, do you have a Facebook page or anything like that you want people to reach out to?
Well,
you?
Well, my Facebook page is, you know, it's Frank Perez at Facebook, but it's dedicated to Tito. You know, the only person I put on that Facebook.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. I'm sure you have a story there as well, and all the things you're doing now.
I have an interview. I came out on the radio station there, a friend of mine, Latin Jazz on Saturdays, and I record, you know, live on the radio, and I recorded it stating and speaking to the people of Puerto Rico. You know that the people of Puerto Rico got rid of a governor in 12 days without shooting a bullet, without rioting or nothing, just protesting. You know, so I was speaking to the people of Puerto Rico. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm speaking to all the Latin communities. Everybody that loves Chito, whether it's Latin, Italian, African-American, Filipinos, if everybody got together and heard this message and let them know that it was Chito that made the Latin Grammys a reality, man, and just to do the right thing for God's sake. That's all I'm asking. I don't want no accolade. I mean, somebody wants to take the credit for it, by all means, I really don't care. As long as I know that it happens, that to me what gives me self-gratification and the spirit of my brother that transcends to my heart through my soul would be satisfactory enough for me, because I know that he would be proud of me because he was a humble man. If he was alive today, he won't even tell people he was responsible for the Latin Grammys, because he would have the satisfaction to know that it was a success. And for him, that would be enough. But no, I don't want it like that. I want people to know that he was the one that made it possible. And for God's sake, they should give homage to that man. And all I ask, if it happens, that I'm allowed to give the first Lifetime Achievement Award to 10 musicians that I know, that my personal friends, like Mike Rivera, Celia Cruz, Charlie Palmieri, Eddie Palmieri, a lot of people that attend, just Santitos Colon family, and then they can vote on whoever they want to give it after that. That's what I would ask as a courtesy to me, you know, because there's people that I know that Chito loved very much, for them to have be the first ones to get that Lifetime Achievement Award named after him. That's what I would ask. And on my website, I designed the Grammy. I made it out of crystal. That horn that you see, that is crystal. The stand is made of marble. The letters are gold leaf letters. I don't want a regular Grammy. His Lifetime Achievement has to be a different Grammy. It has to be a crystal horn, a granite stand, and gold leaf lettering inside on it, you know, for whoever's going to get it. That's the, and I designed it. I have pictures of it on my Facebook thing. And that would be good, because I don't want them to give them a Lifetime Achievement, and it looks like every other Grammy, because Chito wasn't every other musician. So his Grammy has to be special and has to have a special design, and I designed it. And it's a crystal horn made of platinum. It could be made of glass or crystal. I don't care. But it ain't going to look like a regular Grammy Award, because it's not, you know, Chito wasn't a regular musician, you know, a regular human being. He was sent to God on this planet 100 years ago to make us happy through his music, okay? And that's all I want. And I could die a happy person knowing that I did that for my brother.
Frankie, we want to thank you so much for being with us tonight. Beverly, you have another set coming up, but, you know, I hope we can bring Frankie back on another occasion, you know, as we continue to honor the and celebrate the centennial of the birth.
It would be my pleasure, and I want to extend an invitation to Beverly, if ever she's in Puerto Rico, to let me know, and I would pick her up and give her a tour. I don't know if she's ever been to Puerto Rico, but I will give her a tour of the island, and she can, you know, be my personal guest, you know, because that's the least I can do for a person that, you know, is creating a little platform on behalf of my brother, you know, and if I knew, if I had your address, maybe, and I'll send you some flowers, because that's who I am, to show my gratitude, Beverly.
Oh,
okay?
Appreciate you. Yes, I'm a look you up. I'm going to come that way. I love to come to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Give me an excuse.
Listen, this is something that it don't need repeating. I'm a man of my word. I grew up as a young man, and you know, I tell people when I introduced myself to my acting class in Hollywood, Beverly, I don't know how much time we got, but I just want to say this, that I gave them my name, and I told them I was a high school dropout, but I possessed a master's degree in the University of the Ghetto. And everybody got up and gave me an applause, because I'm not going to pretend to be someone that I'm not. But what I am, I feel that I'm God's disciple. I'm a soldier of my Lord and Savior Jesus, and everything I do is in righteousness. And now that when I lost my son, you know, he's like my little angel hovering over me, and I'm creating a foundation in his name. And if I do something in my mountain, I'm going to go redo, because Chito Puente had a scholarship fund in Juilliard, you know, in New York City, and I would contribute to Juilliard in Tito's name also. That's what I would do. Because when you die, Beverly, you don't take it with you. I've never seen a U-Haul truck in any funeral procession, period.
That's right. Well, give out your Facebook again. What is the Facebook?
Just Frank Perez, And then you got to tell if it's Beverly, because I don't accept anybody in there because it's very personal. It's my brother, but Frank Perez on Facebook, and I'll accept you. Eddie knows. He'll tell you. He'll give you the information if you need.
Okay.
But,
all right.
It's dedicated to Tito. The only one I put on my Facebook was my aunt that died 92 years old this month. And I put her, and to let people that I know that I had lost the patriarch of my family. And so, but other than that, I don't have family there. The only one I put is my aunt. I recently put her there. And that's
so
it. But the rest is dedicated to Tito. You'll see pictures of me and Tito, Dizzy Gillespie, and Rito Moreno was very crazy for my brother. There was that was like his little sister. So you'll see that, too, on my Facebook.
I want the number you gave out for the audience to contact you if someone wants to help you with the
I would love them to go through Mr. Eddie Rodriguez because he knows what I'm about, and he's much more well spoken than I, because I'm very emotionally involved in this, and I don't want to say and do the wrong thing, and I know Eddie's more cool, calm, and collected, so they will reach Eddie Rodriguez, and if he feels that I need to be a part of what he will get in touch with me, and I will be more than happy, but he will be my filter, Eddie.
Okay, great. Eddie, give out the information before we go.
Yeah, anyone can send me a message at Latin on LinkedIn. Latin, LATIN, works, WRKS, music, MUSIC, Eddie Rodriguez, you can put down, you'll see a photo of me at Tito Puente. I've had that for whatever, and you send me a message, I'll be happy to answer you and connect you with my good friend and my brother now, my main man, Frankie Hollywood. And I love that line.
And Beverly, I never met you, Beverly, but I hear your voice. And I had a bodyguard service for 25 years.
Nice.
And I know how to read people's mannerisms and voice. And
nice.
I can hear by your voice that you're a righteous woman. And I want to send my blessings and my love to you and your family, Beverly. Okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it's a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you. Well, look.
I love you, Eddie, and thank you so much. And you can call me anytime. It'd be my pleasure to be a part of your show. And whatever I can contribute in any way, shape, or form, you can count on me, Beverly. Like I said, I'm a man of my word. My word is my bond. You could be a millionaire with no word, but you could be a poor man with your word, and the doors open up because people believe in people that are righteous and are true to their word. And that's who I am, Beverly. Okay?
All right. Thank you. Okay.
I love you, Eddie. And thank you, Eddie. And God bless you and your beautiful mama. Okay? And I hope to bring some flowers to her on Mother's Day. Remember, because I'm crazy about the elderly. And I saw pictures of her. And she's a beautiful lady. Thank God she don't look like you. Thank God she don't look like you.
Well, we want to say,
I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding, Eddie.
I know, Frankie. We want to say thank you, Frankie, for being with us tonight. Beverly, thank you for having Frankie express his experience and some of the wonderful things he wants to do, thinking of, obviously, always his brother, the late, great king of Latin music.
Yes.
Amen. Puente. Rest in
Amen.
Peace. Beverly, I think you're going to close the show now with some more music. Good night to the audience. And better love, and we'll see you next Thursday right here on Live on Hot Talk
Radio. I'm going to be listening until this goes off the air. I'm not saying until I know that she's not on, because I'm not hanging it up because the conversation's over. Because I'm a fan of Beverly's now, so it's going to stay on until they say no more music, and that then I'll turn it off. But it's going to stay on, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Better love, everyone. Better love. La 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 la
me gusta el bembé. A ti te gusta la rumba, Tico Puente, oye, y a mí me gusta el bembé. Tú sabes por qué, pero tú sabes por qué.
Oye mi socio, ponte a gozar. Oye mi socio, ponte a gozar. Después no digas que no te invité. Después no digas que no te invité. Al baile que va a estar sabroso, con Tito Puente tocando el timbal.
Dile que venga. mi cha-cha-cha.
Fuente la voz.